say my name until the city burns and the stars fade away and your scars don't hurt. I will hold you till the sun comes crashing down. I'm yours until the end of time.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Restored to More podcast, a listener-supported podcast that is dedicated to restoring marriages to wholeness in Christ after being affected by pornography and sexual brokenness.
After betraying Charity with pornography and unwanted sexual behavior, we had no idea how to rebuild our relationship or even if it was possible to restore what was broken.
Today, by God's grace, we have learned how to connect again, laugh again, and rebuild spiritual, emotional, and sexual intimacy to an even greater experience than before.
Our goal is that as you hear our story, the stories of others, and the knowledge needed to heal, you too can have a marriage that is becoming restored to more.
I'm yours until the end of time.
Update everyone. Course 1 registrations are back open. Whoop whoop. This is an 8-week course starting Thursday, September 14th that is designed to help you and your spouse start the journey to becoming restored to more. It will be led by R2M certified coaches, Cody and Michelle Larson. We will be focusing on how to cultivate safety and trust, healthy communication, deal with triggers, and begin to discover how God can use crisis to create closeness. You can see all the details on our website and can register today at www.restoredtomore.com/courses. Also, if you have appreciated this podcast, a great way to say thank you is leaving a 5-star rating and a positive review. These reviews help more people find the podcast and experience hope and healing.
Say my name until the city.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Restored to More podcast. I'm Clinton.
I'm Charity.
And we have with us a very special guest. We'll get into that in a minute. But we just want to welcome you back. Maybe welcome us back. Welcome back, Charity.
Yeah, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. It has been a minute, a long minute.
It has.
How long has it been?
I don't know how many minutes a year and 3 months are, but...
Yeah, it's been a long time. It has been a long time. We are so glad that you guys are with us listening to this podcast. It has been incredible to see God work even in the gap of everything that we've gone through. You guys know that we paused the podcast because we had black mold in our home and 11 walls. We had to stop kind of everything that was just weekly and kind of just go into survival mode for a little while. And what's really cool is I feel like God used that time. You can't see this if you're just listening, but Charity's mic is flopping over.
I'm dying.
It's not ready to come back yet. No, stay with us, microphone. You're coming back.
People, I'm leaving this on the video recording.
Oh, for sure. It's too funny not to. So go check out the video recording. But no, it's crazy how God's used that time. We still had countless couples sign up for the course. We transitioned the course into more of a self-led time because we didn't have the capacity to lead it each week to week.
We have a membership.
We have a whole membership that was created. You did an awesome job by the way. We have a membership, which is so cool. The members get a private app for all the groups and courses, and even just to be inspired and just to create community and fellowship around restoration. There's resources on there. There's so much on there. You want to check that out. It's called R2M. When you look it up on the iTunes or Android stores for apps. So you want to check that out. And then, it's been cool to see people still listen to the podcast. We've gotten messaged, I think, every day, if not for sure, a few times a week, saying, hey, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? So this is it. We're back.
We are back and we're excited.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're pumped. So here, and we're going to come back on a lot more consistently in a couple weeks. But right now we wanted to make sure that we came on this week because we have an exciting new couple that is going to be coaches with Restored to More. And they are going to be heading up the next course. They are veterans of the course, alumni of the course. It has rocked their world in an awesome way. And they are just stoked to be a light and to spread that good news, kind of be the ripple effect for many other couples to discover and experience restoration as well. Why don't you tell us a little about our guests?
Yeah, we are so excited because, you know, Clinton and I's hope and vision for Restored to More was never that Clinton and Charity were the face of Restored to More. It was, we were just opening up the door to say like, hey, we made it, now come follow us, and to have tons of couples share their story. So, when we met Cody and Michelle in our course, they, were hurting, but they really utilized all the tools in our course, and we were so proud of them, and they have just connected so much more with each other, with the Lord, and then with other couples that had gone through the course. And I just feel so blessed that they now want to share their story, not only with us, but with you guys. So welcome, Cody and Michelle. Can you just share with us a little bit about who you guys are, so our audience can get to know you guys a bit?
Hi, guys. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Cody.
And I'm Michelle.
And we are from Houston, Texas. We have two little ones. We have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. So that makes life very interesting. But to make things a little bit more interesting, we're a traveling family. So I'm a travel nurse, and we travel all across the country, and Michelle and the kids come with. And so we kind of got thrown into all of it together, and we make it work, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
How long ago did you guys go through the Restored to More course?
It was a little over a year ago, wasn't it? Because it was in the summer of last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we were still home.
Wow.
So about that,
I can't wait to get into that story about home, quote unquote, home for you guys. Yeah. That's going to be awesome. They have a crazy story, which I think is fun and exciting too. Like, wow, you're like, I want to try that. So we'll get into that for sure. Hey, so we would just love to get to know you guys a little bit. Obviously, we know you, but let's let our audience and guests on here get to know you. Why don't we just start with the fun part of your story and how you guys met, a little bit of your guys' background. Why don't we start there first?
Yeah, absolutely. So we first met in the hospital. It was actually both like really our first jobs. And we just kind of caught each other's eyes. And it just kind of blossom from there. Honestly, one night I sent Michelle a message on Facebook late at night and I had a little liquid encouragement. Little did I know that she was going to reply, and she did pretty quickly. And before I knew it, I'm a very impatient person. And so before I knew it, we were on our first date. And from there, it was expedited. We were engaged at 9 months, and married by a year.
Wow.
It went very, very quickly. But it was awesome. I mean, it was just like a testament to kind of just like how we fell for each other so quickly. And like, just that connection was there. Yeah. And, you know, for me, it was something that was so much different than I had ever experienced. I think that's why I just picked up and ran with it. And so, you know, that's kind of where we ended up.
We totally get that, by the way.
That was...
our story is the same. We literally met in August, and by the next August we were married.
Yeah.
And people think that we were crazy. Like, we dated for like 3 months, or we were like friends for a few months. Kind of like how you're saying, like, you work next to each other and you catch each other's eye. We were friends for a bit. And then we started dating in January. And then by May I proposed, and we did like a 3-month engagement and got married in August. And people are like, how do you move that fast? I'm like, well, Cody and Michelle did it. You know, we're not the only ones out there. Yeah. Did people think
that was crazy?
Yes.
How long was your guys' engagement?
It was 3 months.
3 months as well? Yeah. I don't know.
And the wedding quickly.
Yep.
Do you feel like you just said yes to things? Like, you didn't have time to analyze it all? Like, you're like, those colors, yes. And like that, yes.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
It kind of worked out though because of like the time that we got married.
Oh,
It was kind of like pre-planned, I guess, in a way. So she always wanted a New Year's Eve wedding.
Okay.
Ironically, my birthday is New Year's Eve too.
Wow.
And so it's like greatest birthday gift ever. So we got married on my birthday. So it's you know, it's twofold. If I ever forget our wedding anniversary, like, I'm in big trouble. Yeah. It's not only is it that, but it's also my birthday. And so it's a special day every year.
A good way for guys to make a note, like, hey, if I don't want to forget my anniversary, probably just get married on my birthday.
That's awesome.
Like, that would be a good way to never forget.
Yeah, absolutely. Foolproof plan.
Did everyone think you were nuts for getting married that quickly? Did anybody think?
Everybody. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody, but they went along with it. Like, they were at our wedding.
Yeah. We were like, well, Clinton and Charity did it, so I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, people weren't sure about us getting married, but we offered them free food. So they showed up and supported us too. You know, it was great. I'm just kidding. If your family listening to this, I love you. Glad you came. Hope you like the food. Yeah, I love that. I love that. So, okay, keep going with your guys' story. And a little bit, so you guys, you said you met in the hospital. At first, I thought you were patients. Like, you were both, you know, patients in the hospital, and you met. No, I heard that.
In the cafeteria, and your little, and your butt was showing.
He's like, I saw a little cheek, and I was like, I gotta make a move there.
Yeah. You know, tie that knot in the back for you. Yeah. Showing there. Let me get that for you as you're walking down the hall. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh man, what jobs did you guys have in the hospital?
So I worked in radiology and CT in the ER.
Okay.
And then he's a nurse.
Yeah.
Also in the ER.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. And then he stood out.
Are we going there?
Yes, we're going there. He wore a fanny pack.
Oh, the only nurse with a fanny pack on.
Tactical fanny pack. Like
that's what every guy says.
Hey, those things are back.
Hey,
now.
Hey, yeah, they are. Actually, if you were wearing it now.
Back before it was back.
I styled it.
You're the trendsetter.
Cody's a trendsetter.
I titled him, like, I didn't know his name at first, so he was. Fanny boy.
Yeah, Fanny boy. Oh, Fanny boy.
My phone, Cody Fanny boy, and then eventually it went to like.
That is so good. Eventually he earned it.
On your phone like that.
Eventually he was husband, but it started off as Fanny boy. Yes.
Oh,
eventually
so
she became a fan. Oh. Da-doom-ts. I should have like. I know I'm on a podcast. There's probably a million sounds for that instead of my mouth.
Gosh.
Oh my goodness. That's funny. That is good. I'm so glad you went there. Cody's mm-hmm. like, are we going there? We are so going there. That is what you do on
that's
a podcast.
Yeah.
It's good stuff right there. Well, okay. So then you guys get married. How long have you been married now?
Almost 5 years.
Yeah.
Nice. And then tell us about the first couple years and just tell us, and you guys can kind of jump into your story a little bit.
So I would say the first couple of years, we were both just workaholics. I don't know. We worked maybe 6 days out of the 7 days out of the week. Wow. And we switched to night shift, which was not our best idea. Like, we were looking at the money rather than our relationship.
Yeah.
So the first 2 years of our marriage, it was just work, work, work. Mm. We ended up buying a house. And, yeah, we found out we were actually pregnant though in 2020 during COVID and we had our first born our son in October of 2020.
And where do you guys where was home at that time again?
Houston.
Okay, cool. I think that's really common. Do you feel like it's common that nurses chase the dollar once they have the job, or is that uncommon? Do you feel like you were the norm in that, or do you feel like you were kind of an outlier?
No, I feel like that's the norm for sure. You know, there could be a whole nother podcast, but, I definitely think, the medical profession, it's almost just a mindset. It's that workaholic mindset. You know, you're wanting more money. You're engrossed in what you're doing. You know, you're at that place 12 hours out of the day, you know, and you end up just getting in that mindset where it's one of the few professions where you can make as much money as you really want if you're willing to pick up that overtime. You know, like if you have an 8 to 5, you know, 5 days a week, you're not going to work on the weekends. Typically you're going to get what you get in your salary, but for us, we're hourly, so in theory, I mean, you could work 7 days a week if you really wanted to, and you know, make a killing,
and it's a great hourly wage. Like not everybody's going to do that, but you're like, well, we make a lot of money hourly, so let's just do this. Like, let's, you know. So you guys started chasing that. Sounds like it was hard for your marriage to work those night shifts. Is that what I was picking up on from your show?
Yeah, I think we didn't really realize it.
We didn't.
Really, there was no idea of how much the night shift was actually, you know, putting on us.
I kind of settled with it as, I mean, he's making the money and so am I, and we're bringing home what we can. And then I think it started to just like settle in me. As in, like, this is okay. This is normal. Mm-hmm. And deep down, I think it was hurting me.
Do you mind me asking how it was hurting you? What do you think it was hurting?
Lonely. And almost felt like we were roommates.
Yeah, I think what was hard at that time, too, was to make it work as far as, like, night shifts for me. I was working 6 on, 8 off. So those 6 days in a row, I mean, she really was lonely. I mean, I was non-existent. I mean, it was, you know, I would come home and sleep, mm-hmm. wake up. We may have 30 minutes to talk before I, you know, had my 1 hour drive to work. So, I mean, it was minimal conversation on those 6 days. And even when I was off, I mean, I was still exhausted. My body did not handle, you know, night shift very well at all. And I mean, me personally, I didn't handle it well at all. And, you know, obviously there's other factors going on too, you know, that didn't help, but, that definitely put a significant strain on our marriage that we just didn't know existed for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into that. So
the story
found out you're pregnant.
And,
yeah. I found out you're pregnant and then keep going.
Well, what, can I ask this? Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit of the backstory too, Cody. You're saying there's other factors there. Mm-hmm. I was kind of assuming you were talking about addiction and what that looked like. Mm-hmm. When did that start for you?
Yeah. So I think my pornography addiction started real early. I was about 9 years old, I want to say, when I first viewed my first video. And it just kind of grew off and on from that time period. You know, there'd be lulls, there'd be highs, in the sense of like I would spend a lot more time on it. And then there would be times where it was, you know, I'd kind of get away from it for a little bit. But, you know, it just kind of progressed the older I got it. You just kind of see it, you know, really start to increase. And I think as it increased, that threshold for stopping myself really started to decrease and my care factor kind of almost went out the window. And that's when I think that addiction kind of started to spiral and really take off.
Yeah.
Michelle, did you know anything before discovery? Like, did you guys talk about this when you guys were dating or engaged? Did you know what you're going into, or was it a complete discovery shock?
So I was in complete shock, caught off guard, say the least. I had no idea this was going on. Like I said, like, we both worked nights. So like I actually handled night shift better than he did. When he would get off though, I mean, the one thing I did notice was video gaming, but I didn't question much of it. I actually was told once by a friend that like, that's his decompression and that's okay. But then I would explain the hours of what he would be video gaming and they were like, he's bringing home the money. Like, you don't have to worry about it.
Wow.
And so I kind of just fed into all of that.
Yeah.
Even though I was sitting on the couch lonely, like he was in a completely different room than I was. So, it definitely ate me alive. And then, when D-Day happened, I still was just like, what is happening right now? Like my life just shattered.
Well, tell us a little bit about D-Day and how you discovered and what that whole part looked like.
Yeah. So when we had our son, October of 2020, I, at that point, quit my job. I was postpartum 3 months. And so my son was 3 months old and I got an anonymous text message out of the blue and showed Cody and confronted him. It was late at night, actually, and he continued to lie to me. He would not admit anything, and I then felt unsafe, and I didn't want to be around him. I just wanted to run far, far away.
Well, did the person say, this is what your husband's doing, or was it like, hey, is this Cody, or what?
Yeah, it was more of a, like, this is what your husband's doing. You might want to confront him, ask him, and then eventually... It didn't stop. I kept getting many more anonymous text messaging after that night. So a trickle effect from others is kind of how I'd explain it, while Cody was still trying to protect himself. So eventually, in February of that 2021, I moved home to my parents and took my son because I didn't feel safe in my own home. I didn't feel safe around Cody. I didn't know what to do. I just needed that space.
Wow.
So Cody, it sounds like the addiction to pornography had fed now into actual physical relationships with people. Why don't you, if that's true, maybe it's not true. Why don't you walk me through that a little bit?
Yeah. So, it definitely, like I said, kind of started to spiral, and that threshold of having that mindset of, I'm never going to cross this boundary. I'm never going to do this. I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not going to cross that flesh barrier. Slowly, I think the more the pornography addiction grew, the more that it ate away at my ability to stop myself from taking that next step and that next step and that next step. And so it progressed from pornography to conversations, to online chatting and social media use. And then eventually ended up being physical acting out with someone that I worked with. And so it grew into that point to where that's where the text message came from. It was because I was acting out with coworkers, and it had spiraled so much out of control that I didn't even have a grasp of how much I was doing or what I was doing. It was just rampant, really. Wow. I mean, that's really what I can say it is. I mean, it was fully, completely out of control. And when you say someone is powerless and out of control, like, that was me. I was completely powerless to what I was doing.
Yeah.
Not thinking about anything other than myself. And, it was just, out of control is really the only way I can put it. And still to this day, looking back at it and just talking about it now, I mean, it just blows my mind how I could have gotten so out of control. It's to not even be able to see it myself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild. I'm sure there's people that are listening to this right now that just relate to that. Mm-hmm. I think we look back and we're like, well, I never thought I'd be where I am right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I think so many young men, they say, oh man, as soon as I get married, like, I'm going to kick this, you know? And then, wow, they get married and still go like, well, man, if I ever have a kid, like, there's no way I'm bringing a kid into this. Mm-hmm. And then they have a kid. And the next thing I was like, wow. And that whole time, nothing is ever stagnant. Everything's moving. Everything's, it's always progressing or it's declining. And so with something like an addiction, like, man, it's progressing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's never just going to stay where it's at.
Yeah.
You always need more. You need more of the drug, you need more of the hit, more of the high, more of the adrenaline rush. And so I think, it's not uncommon. Everything you just said is normal. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's normal for it to progress and for it to get worse. And then you add you add stressful things. Getting married is an incredible thing. And it's crazy stressful. Like, you're adding this whole person in your life and you have to live together and figure out how to communicate more than you ever have in your life. And it's stressful and then it doesn't go well. And there's shame and there's, am I good enough? And man, am I even good enough to be married? And then you have a kid and it's more stress and it's more energy. And so if we don't learn, right, how to cope with those things in a healthy way, we're going to consistently go back to unhealthy habits to cope with all of life's circumstances. And so, man, do you feel like that relates to what you were experiencing?
Oh, so much. Just as you're saying it, just thinking back at the stress of marriage in general, you start looking at all the components to it. You know, when you look at some of the biggest reasons for divorce, finances and sex, and financially, I originally, brought us into a situation that was really, I was spending more than I was making early on, because I just never learned how
to. That's a lot of credit card debt.
Yeah, I never learned how to spend money. And so I brought that into our marriage, which was the first like big fight.
Yeah.
And then I honestly just had a extremely poor view of marriage. My parents had a great marriage, but I almost had this like king mentality. I was the king and Michelle's job was to serve me. And I basically took society's view of it. And that's the way that I went about our marriage was, Michelle, why aren't you doing this? Or when she complains, it was like, well, I go to work every day, so you should be doing X, Y, and Z. And it kills me to think back on how I handled our marriage in those early stages, because it was so unfair to her, on how I treated her, how I acted. And I mean, even if you take the acting out component completely out of that, the way that I treated our marriage, even without that, it was just horrible. And I know that there was pain that was from that, even without the acting out part. And so that in itself is hard for me to even reflect on, because to think that I treated the person that I care about the most in the world that way, that just breaks my heart. I didn't get married to treat her like that. I got married because I wanted to spend the rest of my life with my best friend and the person that, means the most to me. And yet that's not the way I was treated at all.
Wow.
So Michelle, you said that you left and you went to your parents. So did you tell your parents? Like what gave you the courage to get up and leave?
It's a courageous step for sure. And sometimes you got to do that boundary.
Yeah.
You got to say, I'm done. This isn't safe for me, safe for our kids. And definitely pushes a lot of guys to that rock bottom to make a change, you know?
Yeah. So I'm a really big family person. Like I'm super close to my family. And it was within that first couple of days, you were still kind of lying to me. Mm-hmm. But something came out to where it was blatantly obvious. I believe it was maybe just a picture at that point. And so I remember him falling down to his knees and crying and not telling me anything, but me just being like, this happened and now I need to process it. But what I also did was I very forward and I gave him his phone and said, I need you to call your parents and mine. And I need you to tell them what you just did.
Wow.
And he ended up, it was a hard conversation. He told both of our parents through the phone and we just told him, you know, it's okay to not respond. Just, we need you to know. And I needed somebody to be like supportive on my side. They listened, we hung up. When I ended up saying I was going to leave, it's because I kept finding out just more and more that I just could not handle at that point. And so I left, and my parents very welcoming. But the one thing that like my parents did keep saying was, one, you need to decide, like for me, what am I going to do? Am I going to stay with him or am I going to leave him? And so I took that month to process what I was going to do. And I did not communicate at all once with Cody.
Wow. Okay. So let's hear both sides. So what got you to the place to where you decided you're going to go back? Michelle, and then I would love to hear Cody's side too, like what happened when she left and everything like that. So
a lot of things. I had a 3-month-old and I mean, I love him to death. And so I kept staring at him every day, like, I can't believe who your father is, but I don't want you not to have your father. And we were gone for about a month and I wanted to see him. But I didn't want to hug him or anything. I wanted him to know that he hurt me, but yet I wanted him to come and hug me because I wanted that support from him. Like he was still my husband. Like that's who he was for me. So I think it got to the point where it's like, I've been far too long away from him and I'm going to go home. And I essentially gave him an ultimatum when I came home. And that was, you are going to start digging into this and you are going to get help or you need to leave me today. I didn't want this dragged out.
I just have to say really quick, I have goosebumps all over, but I'm just so proud of you because I think so many women, they just stay there and they just justify and they don't give ultimatums. I mean,
they don't draw boundaries.
They don't draw healthy boundaries that, I mean, if you want change in your marriage, you can't just cry and complain about it. You have to also do something. And yes, it sucks. And yes, it's painful. But if you want to see change in your marriage, you just have to do that. You have to like plant your flag and say, this is it. Like, this is what's happening. And you can either come with me because I'm giving you that ultimatum because I want to be with you. Or if you don't want to be that man, then stay there and I will leave. And I'm just so proud of you. Like, I pray that if somebody is thinking about it, if they are like, I want to tell somebody, but don't have the courage to, I pray that they do. And I also pray that they just say, hey, enough is enough. I'm putting my foot down and we're done here. Like, I'm not going to allow Satan. Cause really it's just, you're not allowing Satan to have his playground with your marriage anymore. You're saying enough is enough, Satan. Like, you don't have any ground in my marriage anymore. I'm taking ground back and you can either come with me, husband, in that, and we can get ground together, or I'm going to go seek other ground. So I'm just so proud of you.
Thank you.
I love that, babe. So true. Transition this a little bit into the part of the restoration. So now there's this.
Wait, I need to know about Cody.
I know. Oh, okay. I think he's going to go here.
Okay.
So, you know, so take that from where Michelle's leaving you for that month. Tell me about that and then transition it into, man, so like, what did that restoration path look like for you guys? Because obviously you're sitting here on a Restored to More podcast. And, you know, I just am like, man, okay, so what did that look like?
Yeah, so to be honest, it was just God had his hands all over it. There's no doubt in my mind. He had me from the very start of D-Day. It didn't feel like it at all. But as I kind of talk through this, I mean, you're just going to see, I mean, his work, really, honestly. So when D-Day happened, like Michelle said, I lied. That's all I knew how to do was lie. I was a chronic liar. It was what I was good at. I could lie to myself and tell myself whatever I wanted. I had a doctorate in lying, honestly. I mean, I really did. And so I just kept lying and lying. And the unique part about our story is that everyone that we knew our story instantly. Because of who we knew, because it had to do with coworkers, everyone instantly knew within that week. Literally every person that we knew the story. You know, whether it be rumors, whether it be you know, someone telling somebody else. So I was out there completely. And I still lied, but the trickling of information is what was hard for me to keep up with, because as I was trying to process how to tell Michelle things, because all I knew how to do was lie. So I would do half truths or omit the truth. A lot of times that was something I was professional at as well, was omitting the truth. Well, I'm telling you the truth, but I'm not telling you the whole truth. So I feel a little bit more comfortable about it because I told you something. And so as things trickled in, she was getting more information than I could give her. I mean, it was almost impossible for me to be able to tell her things because she already knew it before I even had the courage or had the ability to do it. And so as we kind of got past, I want to say the first week, maybe, that's when I feel like the first ultimatum came in. Michelle basically told me like, hey, you're going to have to get your stuff together and you are going to seek counseling immediately and you're going to get into groups and you're going to do this. And had she not done that, I wouldn't have done it. Not a doubt in my mind. Her boldness and courage to just flat out tell me, you have to do this or we are not going to be married. First step in completely changing our marriage and in our restoration journey. So what ended up happening when we called our families, one of the phone calls that I made was to my sister, who growing up I wasn't super close with, but got a little bit closer. She works in the church and I just always felt like she was maybe a little bit over the top, too Christian kind of thing. And so we didn't really talk. Well, she's one of the phone calls that I make and I have to tell my sister what happened. And what I didn't know at the time, or what we didn't know at the time, is that my sister, the church that they were with, actually had a group that specialized in addiction and trauma. With sexual betrayal. And so immediately she gets me a meeting set up within that week, with someone from the church, that specialized in it. And then she immediately got me a counseling meeting with one of the best counselors in Houston. On, you know, sexual addiction and pornography addiction and sexual betrayal. And so I was with him within a week. And so that was the next thing that was like, God had his hands all. I mean, what are the chances that my sister worked for a church that specialized in something so specific? And I still to this day give my sister so much credit because she helped us stop the bleeding. And her husband, had they not have had their hands in it and stepped in right away and helped us both, I don't know that we'd be sitting here, honestly. I mean, they made such an impact, and still to this day, I mean, they're both somebody that we're so close to and we can share in our story with, because they know our story and they know intimate details. And, you know, it's been really helpful. So that happened. Michelle moves out for a week, or I'm sorry, for a month. And I'm in this house alone and it is empty. Everything echoes. And so I just forced myself to start waking up at 6 a.m. And I started journaling every day that she left. I was journaling to her. I was writing to her every single day. It was the first thing I did. And then I would start reading my Bible and I would go to meetings and I was doing two groups a week. I was having a counseling session a week. And I did a counseling session a week for at least 3 months. So that entire time that she was gone, it was solely me figuring out, like, how do I stop the bleeding and how do I fix myself? How do I get out of this mindset? How do I rewire my brain? And early on, that's extremely difficult to figure out how to do when you have no idea. But with all the resources that I was just getting thrown, I was able to slowly start taking those steps. And when Michelle showed up, and I still remember the day it was, it was Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. Is when the day that she showed up and she came over and we had dinner. And in Texas, we had a freeze that never happens. Mm-hmm. And
we were on lockdown.
That week, it froze and it forced her to stay with me.
Yeah.
And actually my sister and my brother-in-law actually had to come over and stay with us too. And we were all locked in this house for 3-4 days. Wow. And, she never left again. And God, I firmly believe God did that. He forced us in that house together to be able to work through it and to be able to just figure out how to be around each other again, because that was the big thing, was how do you be around somebody that you've caused so much pain to that doesn't even want to see you or, you know, looks right through you because, you know, you've hurt so much. So, that was kind of where we were as far as like when that happened. And, so how that ended up transitioning was, we continued to do groups. We continued to do counseling. And as that,
individual counseling, I should say. Like, I went and did my counseling and then he did his. Mm-hmm. I went to my group, he went to his group. Like, mm-hmm. we weren't doing anything together. Mm-hmm. For a good solid year, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did some intensives, intensives just for me. And then Michelle went to one on her own, which was, I mean, it was beneficial. I mean, individual work was beneficial. I think after that year, we kind of knew, hey, we needed to do something together. And so we started looking at what that looked like. And lo and behold, there was this group called Restore to More. And it was this podcast that I had listened to from the very, very start. I like to consider myself an OG on y'all's podcast because I remember listening early on in y'all's, and I remember having a similar story in the sense of like, we both got married super fast. Mm. Y'all had a quick engagement. You got married fast. You had two kiddos. You had kids when y'all's D-Day happened. And, I remember just drawing so much hope from y'all's story. I listened to every single podcast and just each time walking away with a tool or walking away with just like, hey man, this is possible. Like, we can, this can get done. And so when y'all started talking about your course, I had talked about it with Michelle a few times. And we had kind of been getting into some fights about wanting to do some couple stuff and just not understanding really what that looked like. And
yeah, we didn't know the direction of where to go. Couples therapy, couples retreats, or like, you know, 3-day intensives. When he brought this to my attention, that was when I was like, okay, we can do this. Like, this course, we can do this. We can commit to that.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. And so obviously, you know, we're very fortunate enough to get into y'all's course and, really feel like we gained a sense of communication through that. You know, we had tools already, but y'all's tools were a little bit different. You know, your tools were beneficial on how to communicate with each other, how to handle triggers within each other. Mm-hmm. Cause your individual work, you learn how to handle your own triggers a lot of times. But I don't know how to handle hers, you know, we're both triggered, you know, like you say, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I just shut down. That's just how I am. And so I would just shut down and just mope and just turn into this just like mush because it was just so much shame that I felt. But as we got into y'all's course and just learning how to communicate with each other, how to open up those RCs, and how to just sit down and just be like, hey, we understand we're both triggered. We understand we're both mad. I mean, to this day, we still use it even when we're mad at each other. That's unrelated to acting out. You know, mm-hmm. we just sit down. It's like, hey, Michelle did all the time. She's like, hey, I think you just need to have something to eat. Like, I get it. I'm like, hey, you know what? You're right. You recognize when I'm hangry. And so, you know, she does a great job of doing something as simple as that. And mm-hmm. I really feel like that's something we learned in y'all's course. Mm-hmm, yeah. And so really feeling like we got a lot out of that. And just really seeing that transition in our marriage that became 180 degrees, you know, just really starting to communicating. As we started communicating, it was like everything shifted.
Wow.
You know, we just did everything so much better.
Wow.
And then, so as that continued, not really knowing where we were on it, you know, I remember initially, you know, y'all were asking like, what, you know, what's your goal? What do you want to do after the course? And what do you want to do with Restore Tomorrow? How can you, you know, help Restore Tomorrow? And we were both like, I don't know if you're ready, where are you at, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And so it was like, man, how do we do this? Do we want to go anywhere with it? And so we really kind of stagnant with it for a while. And when y'all actually reached out about the app, it was really kind of when it all flared things back up again. I had a yearning in my heart about wanting to do something and just not knowing what that looked like. And so I remember me and Michelle had talked about it and we were like, yeah, let's do it. And so the more we were on the app, it was like, hey, I really like this. This is cool. Like this is, you know, for somebody that doesn't have any social media, cause I don't have any social media at all anymore. And it's been great. But having a place that, you know, the app where you can go on, you can communicate, you know, it's a safe space. Michelle can feel safe with me on there knowing, hey, like I'm there to communicate with other men and help them. And
well, also, you know, because of the lifestyle we're in, we are a traveling family. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot harder for Cody to go to groups now.
Yeah.
And so we have something virtually. And so when the app came about, like, was I questionable with Cody? Mm-hmm. Yes. But then I was like, wait, no, this is a safe app. Mm-hmm. And so I felt good of, all right, let's mix up our profiles, see what kind of connections we can make. And I mean, for me, the women that I have talked to are, I mean, I love them. Like the connection I've made from across the world, like it is absolutely amazing. And I want to support them from everywhere.
Yeah. So cool. That was
awesome.
The vision. I mean, like, everything you're saying was really the vision we had for couples, you know, and I love that. I feel like there's so many principles in what you're sharing, you know, like you guys did in individual work first, which we really believe has to be done. You know, you could do the course, but if you haven't done individual work, the course is going to point people towards doing individual work after they're done with the course. Like, hey, I know you want to work on yourself. This course has prepared you for what communication can look like while you do your own healing journey, you know, and you're right. Our biggest focus is communication, communication, communication. Because if we don't understand how to communicate, we can't understand what they're feeling and thinking and going through as somebody works their recovery program. And I just love that. I love your guys' story. I think it's just amazing. It's like, and now it sounds like you've gotten to a place where you want to give back. Like you guys want to serve. And so I'd love to hear, I don't know if you, I mean, I know we got to wrap this up, but I'd love to hear for you guys, like, man, what's the vision for now? Where's the passion at now with helping other people and not just receiving, but also giving, which we know that when you give, you receive too. But where did that passion start from, and what do you feel like you're most passionate about helping people do in the area of restoration?
So for me, I'm going to paint this picture in your head, but early on, a very special person painted this to me. So she said, imagine God and you on one hand, one side of him holding his hand, and your husband on the other side holding his hand, and all three of y'all taking that next step forward into your recovery, walking down the path of recovery. Mm. And I just knew, like, I want that. I wanted that. And I also want that for so many other women out there. Wow. I just love that so much.
Your passion, Michelle, is really about the coupleship, which I don't know if it's a word, but we keep using it. We have since we started Restored More. But it's, you know, it's their relationship. It's the coupleship. And it's not just... It sounds like you guys aren't just passionate, or at least you, Michelle, aren't just passionate about the individual person healing, which, you know, is a part of that, but it's about the marriage coming together with Jesus right there in the center of it all.
Yes.
I love that. That's really powerful. It's really great. What about you, Cody?
Yeah. So for me, I just, I think the big thing for me is hope, man. I love being able to help other men feel a sense of hope and freedom. Because I remember that's what other men provided for me.
Yeah.
And I remember just feeling like I was in a hole and it was impossible. And that my story was too much, that what I did was too much. There was no coming back from it. I couldn't be forgiven. Michelle couldn't forgive me. There was no way our marriage was going to make it.
No.
And to be able to see where we're at now, I mean, just still to this day blows my mind, to be able to see that. And so I have such a passion to be able to help provide men with that feeling and how they can, grow in their own journeys and how that can tie into their marriage. Because I feel like I've had such an opportunity to learn what that looks like. And so being able to also help couples to just see what it's like to be able to come that far away and to be able to tie that in and bring that into your marriage and to see what that can do.
That's so cool.
Well, I just have to say from the bottom of my heart, like, we are so proud of you both. So proud of you guys. And just for every decision that you guys made, for leaning into Jesus, for getting individual recovery, and then to doing couples work and to see how much you guys have grown, even from our course, and now to just like want to use your story to give other people's hope. I just am so grateful, like so, so grateful. And hey, if you guys are listening, like, this couple is on our app. They have made themselves available on our app. They have made themselves available to be
facilitators
of our course, which we're actually, we should say when we're starting the course with Cody and Michelle. September 14th.
September 14th.
Make sure if you want to join this next course, Cody and Michelle are going to be leading it. And we're so excited.
You know, what's amazing is that, you know, we have been leading this course for a couple of years now. We've taken over 150 couples through the course and raving reviews. I mean, just incredible. And there's different ways to take the course. One way that was only offered in the beginning was to take the course with other couples. So you'd be on a Zoom call and you'd be on there with 5 to 8 other couples, and you'd be sharing, and you get to see their faces, and you get to be a part of a community. And as people share, you tell them thank you, and you always find a way to compliment people, and you leave every meeting feeling so encouraged, like, wow, there's hope, like, we can do this, like, we're not the only one. I think that's what we got every week, was these couples being like, I had no idea that other couples related exactly to what I'm feeling, maybe not the circumstance, but what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking and what I'm going through, and I'm not alone. And because of our capacity for Charity and I, we had to stop facilitating those courses live. And so we transitioned it to, hey, you can do this course, kind of be self-led and not necessarily self-paced, because we still did Q&A, but self-led. And so it removed the necessity to be on the Zoom call once a week with other couples. But we also lost the connection between other couples sometimes, that people really wanted. And so we were trying to find a way to do that, and we were praying about it. And then all of a sudden Cody and Michelle were like, we'll facilitate the course. And so in my mind, if you're listening to this, now you get two options. You know, you can still go through courses being self-led, but in my mind, it was so much greater with other couples on the course, because yes, it makes you be more vulnerable, more transparent. But I believe the more you put in, the more you get out of that course. And the more willing you are to show up weekly on those Zoom calls with other couples, the more you get out of that course. And so I'm just so grateful for you guys, Cody and Michelle, willing to just like move that ball forward down the field. Like, I'm like, this is what Restored to More was always going to be. It was always going to be a collaboration. It was always going to be a team of people that said, man, this is what God is doing. I just want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Right. God's the coach. He's calling the plays. And all we're doing is we are willing to get on the field. We're willing to go, hey, Lord, if you want to do this, I am willing. Send me. And here are you guys saying, hey, Lord, send me too. And now it feels like we're just teammates and partners in this. And we couldn't be more excited about partnering with you guys, empowering you guys, and taking people that are excited to go through the course, an option to do it with you guys. And I'll tell you, if you're listening to this, Cody and Michelle are going to be amazing. They are just going to be incredible. We've chatted with them so many times about just how empathetic they are. Cody is already leading dozens of men with different calls and help that he's done. Michelle, you've heard her heart, just an incredible heart for the Lord. and just an incredible heart for people. And just so there, in our mind, you know, we vet pretty heavily. We wouldn't just put anybody with anybody. We wanted to make sure that, man, God, you were doing this. And there's been just green light after open door for God doing this. And we're so excited about it for sure.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
You want to say anything else about that?
No.
Well, hey, Cody Michelle, thank you for being on the Restored to More podcast and the website. If you want to learn more about Cody Michelle, they're going to be on the website. There's a way to contact them and get a hold of them, ask some questions. You can shoot them an email. You can reach out to them. And now they are Restored to More certified coaches, which is so cool. So we're so excited about that. You guys have an awesome night and can't wait to hear and, I guess, be with you again on the Restored to More podcast in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Thanks awesome. For having
thank
us.
Thank you so much.
Bye, guys. Take care.
I'm yours until the end of time.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, follow us on Instagram, and sign up for the upcoming course. You can also connect with us on the Ask Us Anything page at restoredtomore.com. Also, quick note, all the work at Restored to More Inc., including this podcast, is made possible by our donors and financial partners. We wouldn't be here without those who have generously given to the cause of restoration. If you ever feel led to give, you can do so on the donate page on our website,